On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I provide some big major time updates on the football team. I also go over the most recent men's basketball game and preview their upcoming game against Florida. I discuss women's basketball and their upcoming matchup against Arkansas, and also touch on the college football national championship. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 34 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I hope that wherever you're listening, you're warm, because it just feels like the entire East Coast right now is warm. I saw in the Carolinas, more specifically South Carolina, there might be a freaking ice storm or some snow. It seems serious. So if you are down there, do what you got to do. Prepare, bundle up, stay home, buy some salt. I know that when I was in school, we had 3 consecutive snow days one year. One day, it was forecasted to snow, and it didn't. The second day, it snowed. No one knew what to do about it. And the third day, the snow was on the ground, and no one knew what to do about it. And it was awesome. So we had 3 consecutive days off. That led into a weekend. It was an amazing time. And I think any Gamecock fan will remember the video of Dylan Thompson in the snow in Williams-Brice throwing a football. And for some people, who root for a team that is in the South, in the SEC, we just don't see that. And I think any football fan can agree that snow football is pretty freaking cool. So regardless, I hope that you're staying warm. I actually did see through some hefty analytics and whatnot on the podcast that there is one person who has at least listened to this one time in Mexico. So if you are that listener in Mexico and you are a Gamecock fan, first off, go Cox, Viva Mexico, and you're definitely warm. So I'm jealous. But basically what we're going to do today on this episode is I'm going to provide some updates on the football roster, football coaches, spring game, going to touch on the national championship game. We have to do it. And then we're going to go straight to basketball. And then we're going to wrap things up here. Nice, easy episode. Perfect for a snow day. Throw it on. Get some hot chocolate. Maybe some Bailey's in the hot chocolate. Sounds good to me. But yeah, so with the football team, some big news. I really glossed over it last episode, said that the portal was heating up, Shane Beamer doing some big work. Well, there were some big time updates between last episode and this episode. If you want the spark notes on it, if you want the skinny on it, we had 4 visitors who were in the portal, big time targets, guys who were offered by other schools, who had visited other schools, had visits lined up for other schools. We had 4 of them on campus over the last few days this past week, and we went a perfect 4 for 4. Shane Beamer is batting 1,000. He needs to go talk to Mark Kingston about batting 1,000 because the man is on fire. He is a man possessed. And that is a coach that understands the changing landscape of college football and knows that this team needs a little bit of a jump start. And you got a big shot of adrenaline with Spencer Rattler and Austin Stogner. And Shane Beamer said, we are not done. We're going to backfill. We're going to get depth. We're going to get experience at positions of need. So here we go. Here is the recap from the transfer portal action. Terrell Dawkins, defensive end coming from North Carolina State. He didn't play a whole heck of a lot this past year. He was banged up, but his freshman year was very productive. I would imagine he is going to be more of a rotational guy, at least this upcoming season. I would like to see Jordan Birch and Jordan Strawn control the ends, and then maybe a guy like Dawkins come in on rotation. Because Enagbare was that number one, Birch was behind him, so I would assume that Birch goes up, and then this guy comes in behind him. But regardless, big ceiling there. And then safety Devani Reed coming from Central Michigan. He only has 1 year left, but he has been super productive. Coming from the MAC, bringing a little grit to the SEC, love it. But that's a guy who I look at, and you might not exactly replace the type of year that Jalen Foster had, but he can fill in that void. A veteran in the safety where we have some youngsters coming. Youngsters, man, how old am I? Jeez Louise. We have freshmen coming in, athletic, who can play defensive back. We have a couple of guys who were good pieces for us, but you can bring in a leader to step in at the safety position where we are still a little thin. So that's a huge get. And then Christian Beal-Smith, CBS, the running back out of Wake Forest, he came and he had a solid year. And when you look at what the Gamecocks lost in the running back room, you lost Kevin Harris and Zaquandre Wright. You needed Zaquandre White, excuse me. You needed veteran depth. You needed proven guys. Like, Juju's good. Marshawn Lloyd, we know that the ability is there, but we just didn't quite see it this year. So you needed someone. And when you look at CBS's numbers, similar yardage to Kevin Harris this past year, but some more touchdowns, so a little bit more efficient. But regardless, you have now three able body backs in that backfield. And then the prize of this foursome, if you will, is Antoine Wells, the wide receiver out of JMU. And I know you might be saying, what the heck, JMU? This kid is electric. He had so many offers. He was supposed to go from our campus up to Chapel Hill for a visit. He committed before he even went. He set multiple receiving records at JMU his freshman year. He is absolutely electric. And when you look at the wide receiving room, plus tight ends with Stogner, that whole pass-catching core has been night and day from where we were last year to this year. And it is a huge, huge credit to Shane Beamer, Justin Stepp, and everybody there. So it was an amazing work, amazing few days. The Shane train is out of control. It is running express, and it is amazing to see. And whatever he is selling and explaining and the vision, people are buying in. And I think that word has gotten out about the culture he has created. And it is exciting to see recruits, and it is exciting to see guys coming from the portal, but I think the guys staying sent even a bigger message to these other guys saying, hey, we're coming back. I have a chance to go to the NFL, and I'm coming back for another year. I think guys in the college football world are seeing that as South Carolina as a true destination. And then with all that, there was even some more fun news, and that South Carolina has been named to two way too early top 25s. I think we had ESPN and CBS. ESPN had us at number 25, and I think it was CBS at 22. And it is way too early, but I think when you look at the momentum that the Gamecocks had at the end of this current season, plus the additions of Spencer Rattler, Austin Stogner, and now these four guys, and there's still room for one or two, maybe even three transfer guys or high school guys, but this roster is significantly better than where it was last year. And so when you combine the momentum and the coaching staff and continuity in that coaching staff, play calling on both sides of the ball now, I think that that's a pretty fair assessment, right? I mean, you beat the crap out of UNC in your bowl game. You ended up getting to a bowl game by having an incredible November. I think it's justified. And that would be really incredible if we could start the year ranked. And you know what? Even if we don't start it ranked, maybe after that first game, depending how things shake out, we do. And it would be so cool to once again see a number next to our name and to see it stay for multiple weeks. Hopefully that is a theme this upcoming year. And then speaking of this upcoming year, we will have a new coach as Sterling Lucas is expected to be named Mike Peterson's replacement as the outside linebackers coach. I don't know a whole heck of a lot about Sterling Lucas. Did a quick search on him before the episode. He started his career at NC State. He's from Orangeburg and was spent a lot of his time in the NFL, actually. He was currently with the Jaguars, currently, I guess formerly with the Jaguars at this point. But I think he's going to bring experience. And when you do have that NFL background, there is sometimes a question of can it translate to the college game? But he has coached in college before. He spent some time at NC State while Clayton White was there, so I'm sure there is a little overlap. Maybe they know each other, but you certainly know the best techniques. You've been coaching in the NFL for multiple years, so where we've wanted that development from that position group, I think that's what we're going to get with this guy, because you can probably recruit, and I think this staff can recruit at a fine level at that position. Again, we talked about this before, where you're probably not going to have a huge drop-off in recruiting from Mike Peterson. If anything, you can only improve, but the development of that position group needs to get better, and in my opinion, can only go up. So when you have a guy with this type of pedigree, this type of background, hopefully it translates to the field. And there were some flashier names being thrown around. There were some sexier names being thrown around. And yeah, maybe Sterling Lucas is a little bit of an underwhelming name. But you know who else was at this time of year last year? Clayton White. And Clayton White turned out to be an absolute home run hire and turned our defense around. So if Beamer and Clayton White believe that Sterling Lucas is our guy, Coach Lucas is my new guy, right? So that's what we're going to roll with, but it's exciting to see. And then also the spring game was announced for April 16th. So obviously the Garnet and Black game, first time we're going to get to see a lot of these new faces, Spencer Rattler being the main one. I don't know how much we'll see of him, but hey, it's always fun to see these guys in action. The spring game is always fun. If you are able to go, it's a great day to get out. Unfortunately, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. I might have a wedding that weekend. I'm not sure. I'm just swamped with weddings this spring and summer, but maybe they can reschedule. I mean, it's the spring game. We got Spencer Rattler. Don't they know better? You can't have a wedding in the spring game. Maybe I can stream it. That's acceptable, right? I don't know. But regardless, it's a electric time to be a Gamecock football fan. And as cold as it may be on the East Coast, this will warm you up, as our football program is on fire right now in the recruiting trail. I had something in my head, and I think it sounds very catchy, but all Shane Beamer needed was an inch of success on the field, and he has turned that into a mile of success on the recruiting trail and in the portal. And only can go up. You would hope so. But moving over to, I guess, the wrap-up, the official wrap-up of the college football season, we have to talk about it. The stupid Bulldogs won the national championship, and it's just ridiculous that two of our biggest rivals are in their golden prime right now, and it's just crazy. But it was a pretty entertaining game in the sense of it was first one to blink. They were this defensive struggle that, yeah, it might be boring at times, but it was kind of a nice change of pace, if you ask me. And that fourth quarter, end of the third quarter, was electric. And if you rode with me and you took the over, we went out like we came in losing. I said at the start of this podcast that my picks are usually ass, but I'm going to pick away, and we missed it by the skin of our teeth. It's just the way it goes. So hopefully one day in the near future, us Gamecocks will be there. And you already know that party would be off the charts. That if South Carolina football wins the national championship ever, first off, find me in 5 points. I don't care if I'm 60 years old. Find me in the 5 points fountain. And we will out-party anybody. It's just the way of the world. Anyway, someone who could use a party is our men's basketball team. They lost their most recent game to Tennessee, 46-66. Not a whole heck of a lot to talk about here, y'all. Too many turnovers. We were just fouling away. And I know there's gripes to have where it looked like the calls were just heavily going against us, not in Tennessee. I understand that it was frustrating to watch, but at some point, that just is what it is. You lost by 20 points. James Reese, with 15 points, was the only guy who played in double figures. That's just crazy. Woodlands Levesque, I was hyping this guy up, had 0 points. It's just tough. I mean, I don't want to get too much in the weeds here about the direction of our program and things like that. We still have a winning record. We have a chance to turn this thing around, to be competitive in the SEC play. The season's not over, but you need to find a way to have an upset. And it just feels like when things don't go our way, we can claw back. This game was close at the half, only down by 6, but it just, as the game went on, they just opened it up. Too many turnovers, too many sloppy plays, and that's just typically not what you think of a Frank Martin team. So I don't really know what's going on here. Anyway, their next game is Saturday, 1 p.m. It's at home, and it's against Florida Gators. Now, Florida is interesting. Typically, you think of Florida, you think they're pretty good. They are not ranked this year. They are 9-6 on the year, 0-3 in conference play. Now, we're 1-2, so not much to write home about there. But this could be a chance at home. Hopefully, the crowd is decent. It could be a chance to right the ship. That would be a good win, if you ask me. As far as crows to the game for this, there's really two main ones. First off, you got to slow down Colin Castleton. I don't know who the heck this guy is. I mean, he's been there for a while. I don't follow freaking Florida basketball, but he leads the team in points and rebounds, so you got to find a way to slow him down. Don't let him beat you. I mean, that's kind of the name of the game with most sports, but if we turn the ball over, it doesn't matter. So we have to take care of the ball. We have to do what we can to not get into foul trouble and to not turn over the ball. So that would be my second crow to the game. And this game could say a lot, because if you can beat Florida at home, I don't know what the spread is, but that could say a lot, especially on your home court, right? Tennessee's good. Auburn's good. So you're losing to these good teams in the SEC, but if you can beat Vanderbilt like we did, and if you can beat Florida, then you're saying, okay, well, we're not a bottom feeder. Maybe we're just more in that middle. Then you can tread water, and who knows where you end up at the end of the season. So I'm not too sure, but we'll see how that goes, and go Hawks as always. Now, on the women's side of things, they are playing as I am speaking. They are tipping off against Texas A&M. Texas A&M is not ranked as I predicted in the last episode, so hopefully I'm speaking this into existence. Future Tim, please be enjoying a dominating women's victory over Texas A&M to just keep rolling and keep Dawn Staley's machine going. So hopefully that's the case. And hopefully they are feeding Boston and maybe someone else, Bria Beal, Zaya Cook, someone gets going. That would be a really nice way to keep that going in front of the home crowd as well. Now the women's next game is Sunday at 3:30 in Arkansas. Sidebar here. What the hell's going on in Fayetteville, Arkansas? I would imagine there's not a whole heck of a lot. Maybe like a Dairy Queen and a Crystal, and that's probably it. So get in, beat the shit out of the Hogs, and leave. But Arkansas Razorbacks, they are not ranked. They're 11-5 on the year and 1-2 in conference. They haven't looked that great on the year. I mean, they lost to Vanderbilt. They got smoked by Tennessee. So that's kind of what I was saying when we played Mizzou, that they were looking not so hot and recently. They didn't look so great on the year as a whole. Can't always judge a book by its cover, especially when it comes to some of these tricky in-conference games. But I would imagine that the number one team in the country could go to Fayetteville, Arkansas, and handle business there. And as far as crows to the game, I said it before, with our women's team, if we just play our game, if we can control the pace and feed Boston, get Cardoza in the mix, and then let one of our guards get hot, find whoever that is in the rotation, that is a winning formula. So crow to the game, just play our game. And whatever happens against A&M, Dawn Staley has her 24-hour rule. You enjoy it or you dwell on it and you move on. So maybe, just maybe, we could have back-to-back sweeps for our basketball team. That would be electric. As disappointing as the men's were against Tennessee, if they could come back and beat Florida, and then Sunday we beat Arkansas, break out the brooms for two weekends in a row, that would be electric. And playoff football mixed in, that would be a really, really good weekend, y'all, for some sports. But with that is this episode. Nice and easy. Again, I do hope you're staying warm. If you are able to, please subscribe to the podcast, leave me a review, let me know what you think. I'm happy to take feedback. I want to take that feedback. And on social media, my Twitter handle is Cox Gamecocks, just like my last name, COX. And Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. So with that, have a great weekend, y'all, and let's go, Cox.